And good, 9:30, great to see you. There's not a lot, I was gonna say there's good seats at 8 o'clock, a little crowded in here if you're uncomfortable, but there's not a lot of good seats at 8 o'clock. It was crowded, people are coming back. So I'm just telling you, man, God is at work. And so we're excited about this time of year, as Brent has mentioned. And another big part of this year, football's back. You excited about that? Oh, yes, football people, good. NFL's back, college football's coming back. Play like a champion today. That's a big part of football. You know that? I looked into that statement. It's a Notre Dame thing for a lot of us. They slapped the thing going on. Notre Dame fans, any of you? Good. I wasn't surprised. I made fun of one first service, just so you know. But it's all right if you like Notre Dame, but play like a champion today. Notre Dame thing. But I actually found out, I did a little digging. And I don't know if Pastor Brent knows this, but it started as an Oklahoma thing. He does know. He's all fired up. Boomer Sooner, what do they say? I don't know, it's weird. But it's an Oklahoma thing. So there's a battle right now, play like a champion today. And you can go online and look at that and pick a side, pick Pastor Brent's side, he needs help. Yeah, all right. But yeah, play like a champion today. Somebody owns that, but we like to say it. It's a big part of football, that's for sure. Play like a champion, play like something, play like, it's like. I'm gonna talk about that today. Living like and praying like. Praying like a prophet. That's what we're going to talk about today. Remember that statement. How would you pray like a prophet? That's what we're going to get into. Pray like a prophet. Knowing and following Jesus is like something. It means you live, if you look like Jesus, you live like Jesus. You look like something. Love these verses. 2 Timothy 2, 4-6. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the commanding officer. If anyone competes as an athlete, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to get a share of his crop. See what those verses do? They compare being a Christian to being like something, to being a good soldier, to being a good athlete, to being a hardworking farmer. Quickly, let me tell you something. If I do your wedding someday, I will probably use this. I have used this text in more weddings. I love this text for weddings. I'm just telling you that. And if I get struck by lightning in the middle of doing your wedding ceremony, call my wife. She's heard me talk about these verses at so many weddings. She can just take it from there, all right? I'm just telling you. I love these verses because they're a picture many times of what marriage is like, right? And 2 Timothy 2, 4-6 is a lot like what it looks like to follow Jesus, like a good soldier would do, like an athlete would do. Follow the rules. Like a hardworking farmer receiving the best of their crop. So pray like a prophet. That's what we want to talk about from the book of Habakkuk. You can go ahead and turn there. Book of Habakkuk. Let's put Habakkuk into context, all right? Check that chart out. You're like, pardon me, your chart's showing. I know. It's beautiful, isn't it? That's not my chart, though. That's online. That's at KeystoneLife.com/God Spoke. We got tons of resources there. Guy in our church, John Hausler, he and I worked together. He put a bunch of questions with that. And listen, Pastor Brent said, this series is over. All right, so I don't know what's gonna happen to all the content there. It'll go behind a paywall. You'll have to pay thousands of dollars to get it. So go there today, start downloading like crazy. That's not gonna happen. I don't really know what happens to it, but it's great content. And this is a snapshot from the chart we have there that tells us where our guy Habakkuk lands, and you'll see this. And 586 is big there because 597 BC, there's a partial exile of the people of Judah to Babylon. 586, Nebuchadnezzar comes in, destroys Jerusalem. Our guy Habakkuk, you can see where he's at there. He's like in between Ammon and Josiah. He's barely pre-exilic. In other words, he's right before the exile of the people. So he's writing at a time when the judgment of God is coming like an avalanche. And so that's kind of where we are in the book of Habakkuk. I wanted to put him into context for us today. As we finish the book of Habakkuk in this series, we're going to end with a prayer, a prophet's prayer. That's why it's easy to say to you, let's learn how to pray like a prophet. Now Habakkuk, Pastor Brent took us in the first two chapters last week, helpfully. Habakkuk's an unusual book. One writer says, because it never addresses the people of Judah directly. If you've been here for the series, you've noticed it's often the prophet talking to the people, for the people. Habakkuk's not like that. It's Habakkuk and God talking. One and two, Habakkuk. And then God back to him. And now Habakkuk, man, he prays this beautiful prayer in three, but he never addresses the people directly. Rather, it's a dialogue between him and between God. Pray like a prophet. James 5:16, look at this. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. We know that to be true. Pray like a prophet. Three, I'm gonna read this. Habakkuk 3, 19 verses. A prayer of the prophet Habakkuk according to Shigionoth. What in the world is that? We'll get to it. Lord, I've heard the report about you. Lord, I stand in awe of your deeds. Revive your work in these years. Make it known in these years. In your wrath, remember mercy. God comes from Teman, the Holy One, from Mount Paran. His splendor covers the heavens. And the earth is full of his praise. His brilliance is like light. Rays are flashing from his hand. This is where his power is hidden. Plague goes out before him and pestilence follows in his steps. He stands and shakes the earth. He looks and startles the nations. The age-old mountains break apart. The ancient hills sink down. His pathways are ancient. I see the tents of Kishon in distress. The tent curtains of the land of Midian tremble. Are you angry at the rivers, Lord? Is your wrath against the rivers, or is your rage against the sea when you ride on your horses, your victorious chariot? You took the sheath from your bow. The arrows are ready to be used with an oath. You split the earth with rivers. That's my bow and arrow sound. The mountains see you and shudder. A downpour of water sweeps by you. The deep roars with its voice and lifts its waves high. Sun and moon stand still in their lofty residence at the flash of your flying arrows. At the brightness of your shining spear, you march across the earth with indignation. You trample down the nations in wrath. You come out to save your people. You save your anointed. You crush the leader of the house of the wicked and strip him from foot to neck. You pierce his head with his own spears. His warriors storm out to scatter us, gloating as if ready to secretly devour the weak. You tread the sea with your horses, stirring up the vast water. I heard and I trembled within. My lips quivered at the sound. Rottenness entered my bones. I trembled where I stood. Now I must quietly wait for the day of distress to come against the people invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there is no fruit on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though the flock disappears from the pen and there are no herds in the stalls, yet I will celebrate in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord, my Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like those of a deer and enables me to walk on mountain heights. For the choir director on stringed instruments, pray like a prophet. One translation says this, 1:1, this was a prayer, this prayer was sung. So our guy Habakkuk writes a prayer and it's a song, beautiful prayer. How do you pray like a prophet? Expand your vocabulary, several things. Expand your vocabulary, that's one thing. None of us are prophets. If you are, see me. I got some questions for you. None of us are prophets. But what's it like to grab a hold of God like this man of God Habakkuk does back in the day? Grab a hold of God and pray like him. That's what I want to do. It means you have to expand your vocabulary. A lot of parents in here, little kids. Are you at the stage of parenting with your little ones that you're spelling words because they know the meaning and you don't want them to know the meaning? Are any of you there? A lot of you are. You're like, my husband and I are out on date night spelling words to each other. Like, it's gotta stop, right? We got, my grandkids are coming this week. I can't wait. We're buying all the food they can't have. So we've been talking to my kids about what treats do they like. And my daughter's on the phone yesterday with my wife, and she says, C-O-O-K-I-E-S, cookies. Because my daughter, or my granddaughter, she knows what cookies are. She wants cookies as soon as she hears that word. Like, it's cookie time. It's not cookie time. So we spell it, right? Why? Because those little ones are expanding their vocabulary, right? They're learning how to talk, and some of them a little too quickly. So we spell the words. Listen, you want to pray like a prophet? Do I want to reach the heart of God like Habakkuk does here? Who doesn't want to get better at prayer, man? I want it to be richer for me and deeper and fuller. Need to expand our vocabulary. Expand your vocabulary. Several things here. Look back at the text with me. This guy Habakkuk, man, he had in expanding our vocabulary in prayer, it takes a healthy sense of who God is and who we are. You got that? You wanna pray like a prophet? Develop a healthy sense of who God is and who you are. Eight times Habakkuk refers to the Lord or God or the Holy One, you or your, 24 times. Man, God is in his focus. 11 times refers to God, he and his and him. This is what God is doing. 14 times Habakkuk says, I, my, us, I know who I am. You know who God is in your prayer? You know who you are in your prayer life? Bigger than just the same old words? Expand your vocabulary. This has been all through this series. Check out these verses. Jonah 2:9, salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah says, I know who God is. Nahum 2, Nahum says, this is what God says, I'm against you. This is a declaration of the Lord of armies. Micah 1:2, God says, pay attention, earth. Micah's like, this is who God is. Pay attention, earth. Who says that? God. Micah 7:18, a couple weeks ago, Micah says, who is a God like you? Listen, I don't want to keep saying the same old stale stuff over and over to God. Listen, there's nothing magic in words, but I'm telling you, I want to pray with an expanding vocabulary that says, God, I know who you are. God, I know who I am. Expand our vocabulary, healthy sense of who God is and who we are. I love too how, check this out. Habakkuk acknowledges the work of God and the will of God in his world and the world. You see that? Habakkuk looks where he lives and then he looks at the whole world and says, God, you're at work, both those places. Do you pray to God like that? God, what are you doing here in Ankeny? What are you doing in my life? And then God, what are you doing in the world? Habakkuk has both these things in view. It's beautiful. Three, he talks about God at work in Teman and Mount Paran in the tents of Cushan and tent curtains of the land of Midian. I don't know where those places are, but they're places. They're places where our guy Habakkuk walked and talked and saw, and he said, God's at work there. Hey, Keystone, when's the last time you went on a prayer walk? Mom and Dad, great outing with your kids. It's not a billion degrees outside now. After school, you're going back to school, kids. After school, after work, take your kids by the hand. Take them around Ankeny and say, what's God doing there? What's God doing in the district? Costco's coming in. What's God want to do up there? Drive up to our new building. Say, kids, someday, this is where we're going to worship God. A couple months. What's God going to do there? Habakkuk, he walks around his world and he says, in Teman and in Cushan, the tents of the Midians, I don't know where those places are. Habakkuk says, God's doing something there in my world. But man, he expands his vocabulary. You see that? It's from his world to the world. Habakkuk says, this is much bigger than Ankeny, Iowa. What Ankeny, Iowa was for him, you know what I'm saying. He says, God is at work in the world. I don't have time to read all these, but man, in three, he starts to expand his horizons. Look at this, middle of three. His splendor covers the heavens. The earth is full of his praise. His brilliance is like light. Rays are flashing from his hand. Plagues go before him in pestilence. God stands and shakes the earth. He looks and startles nations. Habakkuk says, God, expand my vocabulary for your work in my world and your work in the world. Is that how your prayers are? The dear Heavenly Father, I don't want to be lost in that. God, expand my vocabulary. I want to pray. I want to pray with an expanded vocabulary. Look at 16. Habakkuk says, I heard and I trembled within. My lips quivered at the sound. Rottenness entered my bones. Who prays like that? I trembled where I stood. Now I must quietly wait for the day of distress to come against the people invading us. Man, Habakkuk knows God is going to do some business with us. I know who he is. I know who I am. I know his work in my world. I know his work in the world. Quickly, let me help us. Maybe this would be helpful for you. This is outside of the text. I'm just telling you it's helped me in my life. How do we expand our vocabulary in prayer? Let me give you four things. Sometimes in my life, to expand my vocabulary, I have to pray, what does the Bible say? Someone said once, I've shared this before, I like it. If you want to hear God speak to you, read the Bible out loud. That's good. What does the Bible say? Some of you, listen, you need to expand your vocabulary by opening the Word of God and saying, God, you see what you did here? I want that in my life. Do that for me. Take God by his metaphorical lapels. God, do that for me. God, you see what's happening in that person's life? That's what's happening to me. And the Bible says you'll do this. That's what I want, God. Sometimes expanding our vocabulary in prayer begins with saying, what does the Bible say? You got to pick up the Bible. Sometimes it means saying God is in control. A lot of us in here right now, here's something I know. Life is out of control. And some of you, like, life is really out of control. You know what your prayer needs to be? Hey, God, my life is out of control and you are in control. So I'm gonna start there. And then expand. What does God wanna say to you in that? God, I have no control, but here's what I know. You're in control. So meet me there, God. That helps. In this season of suffering, some of you right now, suffering. If you're not, you will. If you aren't, you have. Suffering's part of life. And in that suffering, it's hard right now. You need to come to God and say, God, expand my vocabulary in this. This is a season of suffering. I'm not gonna get out of it. I gotta deal with it. So God, meet me. I wanna pray that you would meet me in this suffering, in this season of suffering. And then begin to pray. Begin to talk to God about particulars. Last thing, pray for me. Here's what I know. Sometimes I can't carry the burden alone. And sometimes, some of the most powerful times of my life is when someone came to me and said, hey, Matt, I know this is going on. I want to pray with you. And not like in the lobby, you ever meet that person, like, I'll pray for you. They're not going to pray for me, right? We've all been there. I've been there. But I'm talking about finding a person to say, I can't handle this. I don't know what to say to God. Someone who comes alongside you and says, I want to pray for you. Right now, if you had a hard thing in your life right now, who do you want to pray for you? Who is that person? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Like, who's someone you're like, I want them to pray for me. Like, they just, there's something they do about talking to God. It's like, we're there. Pray like them. Go to them and say, pray for me. Because my vocabulary is limited right now. Those have helped me in my life. But man, if we want to pray like a prophet, we gotta expand our vocabulary. Job 42:5. This is Job after Job went through a mess. Some of you know that story. If you didn't read that book today, it's 42 chapters. It'll take you all day, but read it. This is what Job said at the end of it all. Same warning as Habakkuk. I heard reports about you, but now my eyes have seen you. Man, that's richer, fuller, deeper. God, I wanna see you. Expand my vocabulary. One place in Job, he said, the things God is doing that we see are the fringes of his ways. I wonder, are your prayers stale, or with ever expanding vocabulary, are you seeking God? Habakkuk says, his splendor covers the heavens and the earth is full of his praise. Rest and wrestle. That's the next thing. You wanna pray like a prophet? Rest and wrestle. You can rest in the God you wrestle with. You can wrestle with the God you rest in. I think that was pretty cool how I did that. You can. You gotta do both. Prophets did. Jonah, listen, don't do it like Jonah. I'm just giving this as an example. You shouldn't pray. Don't make these your life verses, because God may swallow you with a fish. It happened. Could happen to you. Jonah, look at him wrestle with God. And again, not a great example, but he's wrestling. Jonah was greatly displeased and became furious. When? When he knew that God was gonna forgive Nineveh. He's furious because God is kind. Who does that? Jonah. What a rascal. Jonah was greatly displeased and became furious. He prayed to the Lord, please, Lord. This is what I thought when I was still in my own country. My own country. What kind of God? Oh, my own country, where all the good people live. I'm making commentary. I gotta keep reading. That he says, in his anger, in his wrestling with God, he says, that's why I fled toward Tarshish in the first place, because I knew you're gracious and compassionate. You're slow to anger. You abound in faithful love. You relent from sending disaster. Man, he wrestles with God. God, I knew you were gonna be that God, and Nineveh doesn't deserve that, and my people deserve that. And God had to be like, Jonah, you're way out of line. But man, he wrestles with God. Wrestle with God? Micah 7:8, this is better. You can make these your life verse. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will stand up. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Because I've sinned against him, I must endure the Lord's rage until he champions my cause and establishes justice for me. One writer, I told you a couple weeks ago, one writer called that Micah's gutsy guilt. In other words, God, I know I'm guilty, I'm a sinner. We're guilty, your people, we're guilty. But we will wait for your deliverance. Listen, the God who cast us off in chastisement, he won't cast us off forever. He'll deliver us. Man, pray like that. Rest and wrestle. Hopefully you got your Bibles open. Look at 17 and 18. Do you see that? Verse 17. Hope your eyes are there, because I'm gonna do something. Here's how I wish this. This is the Matt Frye, Your Best Life Now translation. You ready? As long as the fig tree buds and there is fruit on the vines, as long as the olive crop doesn't fail and the fields produce food, as long as the flocks don't disappear from the pen and there are herds in the stalls, then I will celebrate in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. That is not what the verse says. That's what I wish it said. It says, though the fig tree does not bud, and though there is no fruit on the vines, and though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though the flocks disappear from the pen and there are no herds in the stalls, yet I will celebrate in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Friends, you are, listen to this, you are refined in the though and the yet more than you are in the because and the therefore. You understand that? The older I get, the more I realize it. You are defined in the though I can't have this, yet I will trust the Lord. You're defined more in that end than you are in because God gave me this, therefore I will do this. You and I, we're refined in the though and the yet. Can I get personal with you? Love my kids. I got a daughter and son-in-law in Michigan. I would do anything for them. They're trying to buy a house. Some of you trying to buy a house. It's hard, right? They've had three houses that they love pulled right out from under from people that got a lot more money than they do. And so now they're on like house four that's not as nice as like house two that they wanted, right? Some of you have been, we sent people to Blono. We've been praying like this kind of prayer all the time. That's how life is right now, right? I wish I had $10 million to buy them a house, right? I don't. So guess what? As a family, here's what we pray. Though God may not give us the house we want in the timing we want, yet we will rejoice in him. That's how my family's praying. My dad, 86 years old, faithful as the day is long. Great pastor. He has Alzheimer's. Long, long gone with Alzheimer's. Wears a diaper. Last time I saw my dad, he thought I was a salesman. You can laugh because that's kind of funny. It is funny. Every month, I get together on the phone with my siblings and say, what are we going to do about that? Because we can't take care of him forever. I talked to some of you. This isn't counseling for me. I'm just personal with you. Pastors, we don't have it all together. You understand? I talked to some of you. You're going through the same thing with mom and dad. What's your though? You want to know what my though is? Those are my two those right now. Though, listen, there's no magic pill for Alzheimer's. Like, you can wear colors to support it. I'm down with that. But it's not going away. It's just going to get worse. That's my though. What's your though? Fertility for some of you. Wish God would give me a baby. Wish God would give me a friend. I don't know, but we all have a though. Question is, how are we doing with yet? So here's what I know. Though God will never heal my dad, yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Believe that? Do you rest and wrestle with God in the though and the yet? So I'm here to tell you, that's where we're refined. Deconstruction's a thing, right? People leaving the faith. We have a fancy word for it now. People have been deconstructing a long time from their faith. Here's what I know in talking to some people that deconstruct. They have a God they can wrestle with, but not a God they can rest in. You gotta, listen, friend, you gotta figure out both. You gotta figure out how to wrestle with God and rest in God. You know who did? Jesus, who is God, by the way. Yeah. Jesus wrestled with the Father right before he died on the cross for sins. This is Luke 22. You can look this up later. This is Jesus before he goes to the cross. Father, if you're willing to take this cup from me, please do. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You want a great example of how to wrestle and rest with the Father? Look at the Son. Look to Jesus. He did it. A lot of people tell you to wrestle with God. He's big enough to handle your doubts and your anger. He is. That's true. But perhaps, as Habakkuk writes to us, and before Jesus died, we're reminded that we can ultimately not just wrestle with God, but we better learn how to rest in that same God. Wrestle and rest because you are refined in the though and the yet. Trust and obey. It's the third thing. It's a song. You know that? Old people, you're with me. You're like, yes. Trust and obey. That's the third thing. Verses 18 and 19, look over those. especially 19. Trust and obey. Here's what I know. You worship what you give strength. Or you worship what gives you strength. You celebrate what gives you confidence. That's what verses 18 and 19 tell us. Habakkuk says, I rest with God. Ultimately, I trust him and I obey him. You know why? Because we worship what gives us strength. We celebrate what gives us confidence. Habakkuk says, none of the crops are working out. I got no sheep left. I got no cows left. Still, I will worship the Lord. Know why? Because my confidence is not in my sheep and my figs. My confidence is in God. And so I celebrate what I have confidence in. What do you have confidence in? What are you trusting? What am I obeying? I wonder what that is. Trust and obey. It's been all throughout the series. Look at Micah 4:5. Though all the peoples each walk in the name of their gods, Micah says, we will walk in the name of the Lord, our God. How long? Forever and ever. When's that happen? It happened in Micah's day. It's happening in our day. It will happen someday when we live with Jesus forever. Trust and obey. You want to pray like a prophet? Rest and wrestle with God. Ultimately, trust him and obey him. Look at verse 19. I'm going to read this from a different translation because I really like it. Sovereign Lord is my source of strength. He gives me the agility of a deer. He enables me to negotiate the rugged terrain. Isn't that great? Press into that. What a chapter's been. Bow hunting's coming. Bow hunters, have you been awake? Like, man, early in the chapter, God was compared to a bow hunter. Did you see that? Now we got deer running around. Hope you're excited about that. Nothing runs like a deer. Okay, no amens. John Deere people, that's the best I can do, so you're on your own. All right. Got a pet deer? Probably not. If you do you go running with the deer? No. Know why? Because deer run really fast. It's Isaiah. Those who trust in the Lord, they renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. This God you wrestle and rest in and with is a God you can trust, and ultimately you should obey. He makes you like a deer to be able to tread on the rugged terrain. Got some rugged terrain in your life? Trust him. Obey him. Pray like a prophet. What gives you strength? You worship what gives you strength. You celebrate what gives you confidence. Trust and obey. Pass on your passion. I'm doing really good. I was overtime last service. I've cut it down. Brandon, are you proud of me? He is in the booth. All right. Pass on your passion. Pass on your passion. Look at verse 1. Shigionoth. See that? Shigionoth. According to Shigionoth, what in the world is that? Well, tattoo people, you know I'm always looking out for you, right? Why does someone not have that as a tattoo? I mean, no one knows what that word means. Everyone would ask you about it, and you'd get to show them and tell them about it. Shigionoth. We don't know what it means, but here's what we think. Scholars tell us it's a literary genre or a musical style. In other words, it fits a context, or it's the kind of thing where it's like, well, this is a story we all tell. This is a song we all sing. What some people think is Shigionoth is Habakkuk's way of saying, hey, this is a prayer, not just a prayer. This is a prayer that captures a life we live as people. What would that prayer be for Keystone Church? It's a Shigionoth. This is a Keystone Shigionoth. This is our culture. This is the prayer we pray. This is a song we sing as Keystone people. Habakkuk says, this prayer I'm praying, Shigionoth, it's part of who we are. I'm telling a story here. It says, pass on passion. Three times there's a word Selah. You see that? S-E-L-A. What does that mean? We don't know. Here's what we think. It's a musical term. It's used 39 times in the Psalms, used 3 times here. Probably it means pause and wonder. See that word there 3 times in the CSB? It's as if Habakkuk says something and he loves what he says so much that he's like, everybody stop. Think about what I just said. Is that awesome or what? Imagine if I prayed Start the service, like halfway through my prayer, I say, hey, oh, that was from the Lord. Just stop. Think about what we just said there. It's gonna be kind of weird, right? But listen, pray like a prophet is an expanding language of wrestling and wrestling with the God who you trust and obey. You should have a passion for that. And Habakkuk says, stop there and think about God who splits the heavens like a bow hunter. Selah. Look at the end, verse 19. Do you see how it ended? For the choir director. Give this to the choir. Give this to the choir director. Give this to the worship pastor. Tell him I want it on stringed instruments. You think it's that good, Habakkuk? I think it's that good. We're singing it. One translation said, it's for the leader on my stringed instruments, which does that mean Habakkuk played? Maybe. All I know is this. He said, I want to pass this on. This isn't just a prayer I prayed. It's a passion. It's a passion. It's a passion that should be passed on. Passion that should be passed on. Mom and dad, how you doing? Passing on your passion for Jesus. Here's a parenting tip. See how you're doing. Remember when I felt like my son was old enough to pray for Thanksgiving dinner. It's big, right? Grandpa prays for Thanksgiving dinner, right? Son, grandson goes to the kids' table. I didn't warn him, but I said, Christian, I want families all there, turkey's getting cold. I said, I want you to pray for Thanksgiving dinner. I didn't warn him. I want to see how's he gonna step into this moment? Know why? Because I want to know how I'm doing at passing on a passion for God in his life. I might get a little emotional. The older you get, the more you cry. It's a thing. It's tender, though. Tender, tender. And in his own little adolescent way, he stood up and he prayed a pretty good prayer. It wasn't about a perfect prayer, but you know what it's about? It's about Dad. It's about how am I doing? Passing on, man, I've passed on a love for music and soccer and fishing, so many passions that my son could tell you about. How have I done passing on my passion for the things of God and for a prayer life that is richer and fuller and deeper? That's what I want to pass on. So when I say, son, pray for the biggest dinner with family of the year, I want to see how he steps into that because it's a reflection on me. It's not a reflection on him. It's a reflection on me. It's a passion that has to be passed on. So pray like a prophet. Habakkuk, man, he passes on the passion of this prayer to us. God spoke by the prophets, and the Bible says he speaks to us by his son, Jesus, who made the way to God. So here's the application. I still went a minute over. It's terrible. How are you wrestling with God? Wrestling and resting in God. That's for some of you today, it's coming to Jesus for your salvation. The Bible says, come, Jesus, this is Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Give you rest. Some of you resting means coming to Jesus for your salvation. You're restless. You're looking for it other places. Keystone brothers and sisters, we'll wrap it up here. Some of you, you're wrestling with God in your suffering. Remember, you are refined in the though and the yet. So what's your though? And listen, we're gonna sing Shigioth. We're gonna sing. And as we do, what is that though in your life? As we sing, you go to God. What's that though in your life? How does it get you to the yet I will trust God? When you think about that, after we're done, we're gonna have some staff people, men and women, come up. If you need to pray about that, if you need to say, man, all I do is wrestle with God. I need to rest in him. Let us, what did I say? How to expand vocabulary? It's saying to someone, pray with me. We wanna do that today. So think about what that is. Maybe you need to come up here and just kneel at this altar, just sit in your seat, whatever it may be. We're gonna provide some space for that at the end of the service, all right? Let me pray. We're gonna sing. God, wow, we wanna pray like this guy. We're not prophets, but we're saying to you as your sons and daughters, God, we want to go richer and deeper and fuller. So Lord, expand the vocabulary that we have as we wrestle with you in the though, and we rest in you in the yet. That's the people we want to be, God. So Lord, I pray today that there's some here that are on the front end of that, of needing to rest in you for their salvation, that they would deposit the restlessness of, listen, friend, if you don't know Jesus, deposit the restlessness of your life by the wayside and come to the one you can rest in, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for you and for me. Keystone friends, allow the Spirit of God to search your heart. God, you're in control, but I'm not, so help me understand that. What's your though? How can you get to the yet? Let's sing about that. And then if you need to, let's pray about that. Lord, we thank you because of Jesus. Amen.